Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron, in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron, time and time again.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Markets with Chip Nellinger. Chip, how are you doing this morning?
Real well. How are you doing, Casey?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. Sitting out here looking at the mountains from my my rental cabin here in Montana. So you can't beat that.
Very nice.
Awesome. All right, man. So markets have just kind of been all over the place. There's still several camps out there that still think we're going to raise the exact same amount of corn that we did last year. Others believe that it's going to be, I've heard 130 and I've heard 150. So it's on all over the board, and I guess it depends on what they read that day as to what the markets decide to do. So I guess what's your thought on that, and how do you see the market respond to that? I mean, we've been up, we've been down, it's been all over the place.
Yeah, a lot of volatility. We've seen more volatility in corn prices here recently than we've had in several years. So where, you know, much of the last winter and early spring saw daily ranges of 3 cents, 3.5 cents, now you're seeing, you know, daily ranges of, 12, 15, 18 cents. So a lot of volatility. It's kind of broken down into two camps. On the one side, you have latest planted corn crop in history, so likely no way we're going to be a trend line. Millions of acres of prevent plant that still we don't know the amount and won't for several months because of the way the USDA releases that data. So on the one hand, you have people thinking that there's supply side is way less than a year ago and very friendly to prices. On the other side, you have people saying it doesn't matter what supply is. We're not selling any. Demand sucks. And this thing has nowhere to go but lower. And because, you know, it doesn't matter if we raise 150 bushel crop, we're not selling it, we're not using it, and we've got enough supply. So the battle's on, and you're seeing these big ranges. At the end of the month, on June, last day of June, we saw the acreage report. That was just a total, I don't know what the word is. It definitely didn't answer any questions. It caused more questions. It's going to take several months to figure this acreage thing out. And in the meantime, you're left to battle out on a daily basis, you know, what's crop doing. We did see crop conditions improve 1% in corn. Sunshine is warmed up. There's actually, believe it or not, there's pockets of the eastern corn belt especially that are now on the dry side. They're, over the last 10 days trending below average precip. And the last thing you need on a crop that got mudded in on June 10th is for the rain to shut off. So a little bit of everything out there, which is logical, right? I mean, we have states wide in the eastern corn belt that had, you know, 100% of their rainfall, their annual rainfall in 60 days. So Mother Nature tends to average things out a little bit in the end result. So it's not not a surprise that there's some areas that the rain shut off a little bit. So still have weather in this. We got a long growing season ahead of us. Crop development is way behind. And the battle's on, you know, from how big a supply are we going to raise and how big is the demand going to be in the end result. And what's the balancing act there? So it's going to likely take several months to figure that out. Beans, same type of situation. Probably second or third latest plant of bean crop ever. Got a crop report Thursday. We're going to get updates on yield, acres, demand, carry out, world numbers. Hard to believe that they won't cut bean yields a little bit, given the the late planting and the late development of this crop. We're way behind on, the development of both corn and beans. And it's kind of a race to the finish line now as to when the first frost is going to be. And can we get a lot of acres in the eastern corn belt, and particularly the northern portions of the eastern corn belt, can we get those to the finish line ahead of the normal first frost? So still got a lot of volatility and growing season ahead of us, but right now we're kind of at the battlegrounds and maybe have gone high enough for the time being in corn, going to slop around a little bit here, make it hard on everyone. If you think it's going up, it's not going to be an easy ride. If you think it's going down, it's not going to be an easy ride. And keep the pressure on here for a little while. But Thursday may tell us a little bit more of the story. Still a question as to what the USDA is going to do. Remember back in on the June report, they took the March acreage number, which was 92.7. They took 3 million acres off of that. Then we had the June acreage report, which some people are arguing included prevent plant acres. I can't logically understand how that includes a bunch of prevent plant. Will they use that number, which is 91.7, and take 3 million off? Yeah, we'll know Thursday. So you can see some real fireworks and some real market volatility after that report Thursday morning.
Yep. All right, so U.S. and China have met here. They've kind of agreed to disagree and not poke each other in the eye anymore. So I guess I haven't really noticed the market really even pay any attention to that. Is that kind of a fair statement?
I think it's a fair statement because it's been stopped and started so many times, and we've had tweets about what a great deal we're going to have, and China's, you know, going to buy all our ag products, and, you know, here we are 18 months later with no agreement. So, yeah, I think it's like the boy who cried wolf now. We'll believe it when we see it type of a thing. So, supposedly they are talking via the teleconference, but we'll see. I don't think there's a lot of hope that anything's going to get done, which is the way it's going to be. It'll just be a snap surprise agreement, and then it will affect the market, which will be wildly volatile. But unfortunately, that's just the way it is after so many stops and starts on this thing for the last 18 months.
Yeah, it's been crazy back and forth. Right, let's talk about the cattle market here for a little bit, and we see what's happening there. Again, a lot of volatility that we see happening there back and forth. We're in that kind of peak grilling season now, so you would think that there'd be some play there. But I guess talk about what you see happening in the cattle market, and where do you see it headed here in the next 7 days or so?
Yeah, we've been kind of having our fingers crossed for a seasonal bottom. Like you said, it's been a little bit late start to spring and the grilling season. So the seasonal is a little bit off here. So because it was such a wet, cool, late start to spring, the cattle market tried to rally a little bit towards the end of last week, tried to rally yesterday, had a horrible close, just puked into the close yesterday, closed down 80 or 90 in the front month. The biggest issue with the cattle complex is feeder cattle. Obviously, with those corn, that's $2-3 lower every day. It's hard for the live cattle to do much. So I do think you're at a point where you're fair value, especially on these deferred live cattle, the October, the December. Cash markets have come down, but, you know, they're still at a premium to futures. So I'm hopeful that we can see some better things into July and August. Probably not a huge rally, but I think we can rally some. You did have a commitment to traders report out yesterday, which shows where the funds are. They're at a 12-month low in long positions in live cattle. They're, I believe, at a record short position in feeder cattle. And so you would think that, at least on the aggressive sell side, that the funds won't be as big of players as they have been over the last 6 weeks to depress these price levels. And if you can get some better cash markets, we just need higher cash. If you can see higher cash for two consecutive weeks, I think you'd see a nice rally in live cattle. But right now, they're just kind of content to go sideways and chop around here a little bit, which isn't the end of the world. We got to kind of build a base, and, you know, if we can go sideways here for a couple weeks, make a case that, you know, that seasonal low is in place, we might have a better chance for a rally. Hogs are a real head scratcher. You know, we've got the African swine fever issue. We've had weeks here in the past where China continues to take U.S. pork. We've had stories out that, you know, the situation on the ground in China is actually worse than what they reported. Maybe up to half their total sows have been liquidated. But yet it just doesn't do anything to the hog market, and it goes lower every day. And again, tried to rally. We're up over a buck early yesterday. By the close, you know, you're just hammering this thing into new lows in the deferred. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of a head scratcher. You've got the issues in China. They continue to take, buy, and ship pork domestically to China, but it just doesn't seem to do much. Of course, we are expanding. We're on about the fifth year in a row of expansion domestically. So it's kind of like the argument in corn. You know, we've got a big enough supply that so far the market doesn't seem to care much about the Chinese purchases. So a little bit of a head scratcher in hogs, especially like you said, this is prime grilling time, prime demand time. You expect normally, you know, 85-90% of the years past, you rally into July and August in hogs, and we're making lows in here. So the whole seasonality of the livestock markets are really, especially hogs, are kind of thrown off right now.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about wheat for a minute. So the custom wheat run is making its way north. It's Kansas and making its way up and probably to eastern Colorado now, and moving its way north into Nebraska. So as you take a look at the wheat, wheat is one of those ones I like to watch, because it's one week it's the commodity that carries the market, and then the next week it's the yeah. Drags it down. So it's kind of all over the place, and this year is no different than that. The last couple of days I've watched it kind of take a kick in the pants here, but from the reports that I hear, it sounds like there's some bushels are out there, but they're really worried about the proteins that are coming out of that wheat. So might not be the best quality wheat that we cut this year. So as you take a look at the wheat market, what do you see some of the big draws there and some of the plays you see coming up?
Yeah, so wheat's been more of a follower here recently. You are over a dollar off the lows from a few months ago. But it's really hard to rally during harvest. So I think we're right approaching 50%. I think we're at 47% harvested yesterday on the harvest progress report. Kind of no news is good news, right? You don't hear a whole lot, which means yields usually are pretty good. I think there are some quality issues, like you said, some protein issues. A lot of times that becomes more of a spread play between Chicago and Kansas City. You know, I don't know. I think wheat's more of a follower. The chart looks to me like it's a little bit top heavy. There's still some carry in this market. So I think producers have to kind of take a look at where we're at. You know, generally speaking, out this way especially, which we don't matter in the big picture on wheat, basis is pretty good. And, you know, I think producers have to take a look at, you know, where they're at right now, where their yields are, maybe take a look at protecting some of this wheat, especially if you're going to store wheat or still carry in the market. And I don't think it's too soon to be thinking about 2020 crop either out there, and maybe getting a start on some hedging. So, you know, wheat, in my mind, is more of a follower in here. The funds are long now. Chicago wheat, it's the first time they've been long for a long time, like literally 3 years. And so you have to be a little suspicious that once they get out of shorts and get long, it usually doesn't last very long. And it won't take very much bearish news, and they'll be plowing right back into some shorts. So I think it's an opportunity in the wheat here. We're off the highs a little bit, but I still think you have to see it as an opportunity in the big picture. So this crop that we're harvesting and next year's crop.
Right on. All right, Chip, well, lots of stuff going on, a lot of good reason to have a plan in place, and if folks are working on one or want you to review something they're looking at, how would they get a hold of you to have you take a look at the plan?
Yeah, best way is just give us a call, 309-550-7213. We'd love to chat with you about your plan and give you some advice on how we might be able to change that, and if you have a plan, and how you might go about starting one if you don't. So we'd love to hear from you.
Right on. All right, Chip. Well, take care of yourself, and we'll catch you again next week.
All right. Stay away from the bears out there.
I'll try. I'm going to wrestle all of them.
All right.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Nellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. please visit movingironllc.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and globalagnetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving iron.